Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
Okay, so I'm using the book called How to Understand the Mind. This is the only book that has our teacher on the front. Not sure why that happened, but I love it. Because then when I'm holding it, I'm looking at him and he's at my heart. And hopefully you receive this teaching through me from him. If I do my job right, that's what will happen. It'll be from him to you through me. And this book, I love this book. So if you want to understand your mind, this is called How to Understand the Mind, but we can say my mind. And the subtitle is The Nature and Power of the Mind. We have no idea how powerful our mind is, in my opinion, until we meet Buddha's teachings. So I'd like to just talk about the mind for all the whole morning, but what we're going to do is look at one part of our mind. We're going to look at our worst negative habit. We have some negative habits, and the habits can be changed. That means they're just habits. They're strong, familiar ways of thinking, but they're not who we are. So this section is called the Six Root Delusions. So we have six main mental habits that harm us, make us feel bad. They're called delusions. Buddha called all of our painful habits. We have painful habits. And the one we're going to look at is really painful. And by the way, it's number one. Out of six root delusions, we're going to look at number one. So here it's called, Buddha calls it, desirous attachment. So I'm just going to read a little bit because I want you to get the scientific explanation of this painful habit that we all have, by the way. We all have it. It's more difficult to identify than anger. Anger is really easy to see, feel, and sort of develop. It doesn't feel good when I'm angry. But desirous attachment is sneaky. It's a sneaky habit. And in fact, in the beginning, it actually feels really good. This is so unfair. So here's what I'm going to share with you. The definition of desirous attachment. So don't worry, it's not going to be too scientific, but we need to look at the mechanism of our pain in the wisdom of Buddha's teachings. So it's a little bit scientific, and it sounds sort of formal, but don't let that throw you off. Just kind of let it go in here. The definition of desirous attachment is a deluded mental factor that observes its contaminated object, which just means anything. It's a deluded mental factor, part of my mind, that observes anything, anyone, regards it as a real cause of happiness, and then wishes for it. So that's simple. Desirous attachment is our normal thing. We normally do this, is that we observe anything outside of ourself, mainly, and we develop this strong wish to have it. We regard it as a cause of happiness, and then we want it. That's how it works. We think of something, see something, remember something, or with something, anything outside of ourself can be the object of our desirous attachment. We're going to look at people, other people. We're going to use them as our object in this analogy. So desirous attachment, just as a little encouragement, Buddha is saying, desirous attachment is not the same as desire. there are many non-deluded desires that it is suitable to cultivate, such as the desire to attain liberation, the desire to attain enlightenment, the desire to help others, the desire to improve ourselves. Those are all good desires. So we have lots of good desires or wishes. Those are synonyms. We have a lot of wishes that are great. We need those wishes. But desirous attachment is different. Desirous attachment develops like this. First, we perceive or remember a contaminated object. So you can read the book and learn more about that. But that just means for us, anything. Anything can be an object of our desirous attachment. So in this case, we're going to think of a person or people or others. And then we feel that object to be attractive. In other words, we like it. Then we focus our attention on their good qualities. In fact, that's all we think about, is their good qualities. And then we exaggerate those good qualities. Because it's someone we really like. And when our desirous attachment is developing, we focus on them and we think about their good qualities. This happens very quickly. And then what happens is, I think in a modern, contemporary way of looking at it, is our desirous attachment photoshops their good qualities. And in fact, it photoshops every bad quality out. There's no blemishes. There's no bad breath. They don't do anything bad. They only do good things. And it's like, I want them. You know that feeling. Well, I want them. You know, it can happen with inanimate objects and other things like pets as well. But we're looking at people because this is where our loneliness and sadness comes from. So this mind is so unfair. It just, we think about that person. When our desirous attachment's functioning, we don't see any bad qualities. And what happens then is immediately we develop this strong, strong desire. We need them. We want them. We miss them. I can't live without them. Those feelings, those are normal feelings. I can't imagine not having them in my life. You know that feeling? It's very strong. So this desirous attachment makes us believe instantly that person is essential to our happiness. We think, I will be happy if I'm with them. I'll be happy if I'm with them. And desirous attachment, it contaminates our mind. So when we love someone, that's a pure mind. We're going to look at that in a minute. But right now, we're looking at the impure part of our mind with respect to others, which our desirous attachment makes them feel like, makes for us, we feel like they are my source of happiness. If I don't have them, I can't function. We all have that at different times. So desirous attachment is the normal experience of the first 6 weeks of any relationship. So don't worry, it's normal. You know, you think about them all day, you lose weight, you can't think about anything. You're thinking all about them, every moment's mixed with them. And your concentration's extraordinary. And whatever we're doing, we're part of our mind is focused on that person. After 6 weeks, then the Photoshop part starts to diminish and we start seeing some faults. It's just reality. We start to say, well, you know, they're a little critical. Oh, and actually they look really bad in the morning. But, you know, over time, so little faults start to show up. This is normal. And then what happens if we can allow the desirous attachment part reduces, our love increases. More moments of actual love, and the love is a balanced mind. Desirous attachment's an exaggerated mind. And even though it's a light, when we're thinking about it with new relationships and so forth, it just helps us understand this mind. Because we're going to look at it, how it causes us torture, sadness, prolonged grief later in life, or when we lose that person. That's what we're looking at, is what happens is that mind of desirous attachment keeps functioning. And even though we've lost that person, maybe they left us, or maybe they passed away, or in our life, we are separated from that person somehow. And we're looking at the pain that comes totally from this attachment. Pain doesn't come from love. People mix that up all the time. Attachment causes pain. Love does not. So we have to discriminate correctly so that we can learn how to work with our losses. You know, for some people, their attachment is causing them so much pain because they've been lonely their whole life. They've never found the one. And it's just so sad. So the sadness, the pain, the grief, all of those painful feelings are coming from the attachment in our mind, not our love. And we need to know that. If we can learn that, we can protect ourselves from pain, finally. So be patient. This is a little new understanding if you're new, especially. So as attachment's developing, we focus our attention on their good qualities, exaggerate them. That's what we do, is we make their good qualities so big. We think they're the only one that makes me happy. If I don't have them, I won't be happy. And we feel that with our children. We feel that with our parents. We feel that with our friends. We feel that with a lot of things. Attachment is so easy. You know, delusions are very, very strong in our ordinary minds. They're more natural to us at the beginning. Buddha explained that our virtuous minds, like love, compassion, generosity, wisdom, and so forth, they are very weak in the beginning. We have the seeds for those minds, and we have some of those tendencies. But our familiarity with delusions like attachment is so strong that we have to work hard to overcome it in the beginning. Does that make sense to you experientially? It's very easy to be angry. We don't have to take a class on developing desirous attachment. We don't offer that class. All of our classes are about getting rid of that because we want to get rid of our pain. Most people come looking for community because they're lonely. This is a good place to come. This is like everybody here is sick. We all have desirous attachment. Yep. We all have some anger. Yep. We got all these delusions. All of us have them. But big difference between this community, I would just say, communities that are focusing on solutions, understanding that if I want to have a good life, I need to get rid of these painful mental habits. And so we're all trying to do that. Some days we do a really good job, and other days not so good. But we're all working at it. And the thing that's nice about a community here is that we're following, these teachings make sense to us. We think, I'm over the pain. I've been feeling pain from the loss of that person in my life for 25 years. I want to heal. So people stumble in the door and they think, what does Buddha say about long-term pain? And then if you're fortunate, you stay, you get some teachings on the pain producer in living beings' minds. Number one is attachment. All anger comes from attachment. So you think, okay, I've never heard of that. A lot of people use the word attachment in the common society, like it's a good thing. Oh, I'm so attached to my cell phone. I'm so attached to my pet. I'm so attached. It's a wicked mind, but we don't understand that yet. So be patient. Hopefully it's new information. And if it's not new, we love this teaching because it's telling us about our diagnosis.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.